because they've lost their mom, maybe this year, maybe recently. They've lost a child this year. They've had a miscarriage recently, lost a child in that way. They're grieving on Mother's Day. And I pray for men as well that think about their mothers. And I just ask for your hand of care to be on our people, on these people, your people today. And Lord, that you would remind us, Lord, that you're working all things for your glory, as the song says, and this storm will pass, Lord. But until it does, we need you to hold us. We need you to be an anchor for us. And I just ask that you would be that anchor for the men and women here today on Mother's Day. In Christ's name, amen. So, when we look at the Ten Commandments, I just read to you what the fifth commandment was. When we look at the Ten Commandments, you could break them up into two sections. In my mind, I have the movie in my mind with Charlton Heston and the old Ten Commandments movies where they have the two tablets, you know. You know, really on those two tablets was probably two versions of the Ten Commandments, but we can kind of break up the Ten Commandments into two tablets in a sense. There's the tablet of the first four commandments that's all about honoring God. And then on the other side is commandment 5 through 10 that's all about honoring other people. And so you remember the ones about honoring God? I told somebody I would do this. The first commandment, I have hand signals. First commandment is there's one God, worship Him. You remember that? Second commandment is what? You don't bow down to idols, right? He's God, don't bow down to idols. What's the third commandment? That's a W, watch your words. You do like this. Watch your words. Don't speak of the Lord in a vain way. What's the fourth? Remember the Sabbath, right? Some people do this. Two, four. Remember the Sabbath. That looks like a church. Four, pillow on your head. Fourth commandment. You got it? What's the fifth commandment? That's the one we're looking at today. Honor your father and your mother. What's the signal? Salute. All right. Fifth commandment. It's right in the middle. And the fifth commandment starts the commandments about honoring other people. It's almost like God is saying, until you learn to honor your mom, you can't honor anybody else. Right? It's amazing that for God, life starts in the home, right? The home is so important to God that it finds its way right into the middle of the Ten Commandments. When God redeems a people and He gives them a law and says, live like this, it's right in the middle, okay? Because it's so important. So important. Honor your mother. Honor your mother. I was reading an article this past week about a mom who's constantly disappointed on Mother's Day. I'm sure some of you moms are disappointed on Mother's Day. You feel like, I've wiped a lot of behinds, you know, for the rest of the year. And today, I just don't want to do that. You know, I want to get pampered for a change. I want to break on Mother's Day. And this mom was writing about that, and she was explaining her experiences on Mother's Day. And she said, I still don't get a break on Mother's Day. And I think this is really important to say when we look at God's Word, that Mother's Day is not about receiving honor. Mother's Day is about giving honor. You see? Do you see that here? He's telling us to honor our mothers. This is a great quote from Sam Crabtree. Mother's Day is not primarily about being a mom and receiving honor, but thanking God for the mom He gave you and giving honor. It's very fitting that the lady that started Mother's Day was not even a mom herself, because she just wanted to give honor to her mom. And so the question today for me is, why honor our mothers? And this is going to be a 3-hour sermon, okay? 20 points on why to honor your mother. No, it's 3 points. I'll get you out at noon, because that's the nice thing to do for Mother's Day. Number one, we honor moms for their God-given position. Okay. God doesn't say honor your mom if she's honorable in your eyes, right? He just says honor your mother. There's there's a calling that she has been given as a mom, and because of that calling, you are to honor her. Now, the word honor in Hebrew is the word kavod. Kavod is also a word that we use for the word glory. If you see the word glory in the New Testament, it's kavod, and it means heaviness, weightiness. And what God is saying is that the role of a mom and the calling of a mother is a weighty thing. He's not saying your mother is weighty, okay? So you don't say that on Mother's Day. That won't get you anywhere, okay? Say she's weighty. That's not what it's saying. It's saying her position is weighty. It's heavy. It's to be honored. And we never outgrow the need to honor. We never get old enough that we're like, well, I'm not a kid anymore, so I don't need to honor my mom. Our relationship may change because maybe we moved out of the house, hopefully so, at some point, right? Amen, moms? Our relationship may change if you get married and there's that leaving and cleaving thing where you leave your mom and dad, you cleave to your spouse, but you never get so old that you don't need to honor your mother. These commandments, actually, they're not written to a bunch of children. These commandments are written to adults, adult children, who are to honor their mother. Is there ever a time that you don't need to honor your mom? Anybody? No. And you say, well, what if my mom was a mean and nasty woman? You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't say if, there's no condition here. It just says honor your mom. And in our current culture, that's not common, is it? The role of a mother is not well respected in our culture. Not at all. For a lady to have a focus on her home and on her children, that is not respected in our world. Me and Lindsay were watching this show just this past week where in the show, it shows this mom who has zero interest in her child. Like, zero interest. And you know who has interest in the child is the dad. And the dad says, well, I think that I'm needed at home. And would it just be okay if I just stay at home as a dad? I'm not getting on stay-at-home dads here. But what I'm saying is, in our culture, it's just portrayed everywhere as you need to make your name count. You need to do something honorable. And God's saying, that is honorable. The role of a mother is honorable. I've given it honor. I've given it weight. It's a weighty thing. Honor your mom. This funny thing happens when we're kids. I just thought I'd point this out. You already know it. But until we're about the age 10, we think our parents are brilliant. You know what I mean? Like, my dad can beat up your dad. My mom's smarter than your mom. But then you get about the age 11, and your parents lose all sense whatsoever. They become foolish people until about, 11 to 18. They don't have a clue about life. And then at age 20, you start saying, maybe they know what they're talking about, you know? Like, they get smart all of a sudden. You know, we need to... You know, if you're in middle school or high school here, you need to know now that your parents are far wiser than you are. And you will know that in 5 to 10 years. So you might as well act like it now and say things like, thank you, Mom. Yes, ma'am. I appreciate you. You're so smart, Mom. Right, moms? Just go ahead and say that now. And I just happened to think in my mind that some of you say, well, I'm older now, I'm wiser, I have a maturity of heart, and I look back at my mom and I see my mom was not an honorable person. And I was just happening to think, I was thinking about a good buddy of mine, and I sent him a message today because I was just thinking, man, it's probably a hard day for him. And he lost his mom at age 23, 15 years ago, and I remember being with him in that time of his life. And even as she was on her deathbed, he said, my mom was a mean woman. she drunk herself to death, and she used to hit me and abuse me. And you know what? He was a good example of what it says in the scripture, because even though those things happened, he honored his mom. He always honored his mom. And that was a good testimony. It was a good testimony to her because it gave him the ability, as she lay in that hospital room, I remember it right now, she lay in that hospital room to invite pastors in and to himself tell her about Jesus and get to share the gospel with her. He honored his mom. Number two, we honor our moms for their sacrifice. You know, as a mom, I mean, there's hardly anything that characterizes the life of a mom than that word of sacrifice. Sacrifice. And the sacrifice begins at childbirth, but it definitely doesn't end there, does it? And for some of you who have adopted children, you know the sacrifice of adopting children and all you had to go through. But at every stage in life, it's a new challenge. It's a new challenge to walk through with that child. And the heart of a mother is inextricably linked to a child's heart, you know? And when that child feels pain and is going through a struggle, they feel the pain. There's always sacrifice. And in this book of Exodus, I was just thinking about moms in the book of Exodus. And we like to think in this book that Moses is the hero of the story. Moses is the hero. Well, God is the hero of every story, okay, in the Bible. But this story, you know, Moses plays a big role. But when you open up the book of Exodus, the immediate hero, they're women in the book of Exodus. And it blew me away when we studied Exodus recently. Let me just tell you a little bit about what's happening. In the book of Exodus, the people of Israel are enslaved to a king who doesn't like them and doesn't like their God. And he's threatened by them because they're getting so numerous. They're multiplying like rabbits. And they're a threat to him. And so what he says to the women and to the midwives that are helping the women give birth is, he says, if it's a woman, a girl baby, then you are to let her live. But if it's a boy, a male, you kill him. And Moses' mom, let me just make sure that I get the verbiage right of what she said. She said, ain't gonna happen. That ain't gonna happen. And so what she did was she hid the child for 3 months, and then you know the story, the basket, she had a basket, she put tar and pitch around it to keep water from getting in it, and she let the child, put him in the Nile River, and he floated down the river, and her older daughter watched the basket to see where Moses would go. And it wasn't as if floating babies down the river was a popular thing to do back then. It was a move of desperation by a mother that cared more about her joy in keeping a child for a day or a month more than letting that child live and doing anything she could for that child. And the book of Exodus says God honors women like that. Because what happens to that child, he floats down the river to Pharaoh's daughter, to the king's daughter. And she picks the baby up, and she loves the baby. But she says, I can't raise this baby. I can't nurse this baby. And who ends up getting the baby to nurse the baby? Mama. Not only does she get her baby back protected by the princess, she's paid. The Bible says she's paid to do it. And what that tells me is that God honors women who will sacrifice for their children. And we should too. If God honors them, we should honor them. And man, there's so many other stories. I'll hit this other story. Solomon, you remember Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived? There's this story that's told of these two ladies. They're single ladies. They live under the same house. And this terrible thing happens. One of the children dies in the night. And so that lady gets the other lady's child, and takes that child for her own. They're about the same age. And so the ladies come before Solomon. They're like, he's mine. And she says, no, he's mine. And Solomon's like, oh my goodness. I don't want to get in a fight with two mothers. What am I going to do? Solomon knows the sacrifice of a mother. So he says, bring me a sword. We are going to divide this child, and you can both have him. And the sword is brought into the room, and the true mother says, let her have him. Let her have him. Because she'd rather the child go with somebody else and live, right? And Solomon says, aha, I found the mama. I found the mama. The sacrifice. Lindsay was away. She was at a doctor's appointment this week, and I had to watch the kids for a couple hours. And I was given a strict meal instructions. They're the corn dog, vegetables, and fruit. I think that's what it was, something like that. And she got back, and she said, what did the kids eat? And I said, they eat the corn dogs, just like you wanted them to eat, the corn dogs. And she said, what about the vegetables and the fruit? And I said, I put some ketchup on the plate, you know? Ketchup comes from tomatoes. It's like it's a vegetable. And she's just so tuned in to these children and their balanced diet and will hold the jaws open and brush the teeth, you know, and can't bear the thought of a child having a cavity. And me, on the other hand, I'm not as tuned in. I keep them out of the road. And Grace had a toilet brush that she was waving around like a princess that had like dirty water on it. And I stopped that from happening the other day. But those are the things that I'm worried about, you know. But moms, they're just tuned in a sacrificial way. I can remember very much my mother, who I'm glad is here with me today, many nights staying up doing schoolwork in a sacrificial way. And I'm pretty sure 75% of the paper I wrote, not sure. Then she had to get up at 5 a.m. to wash her hair to get ready the next morning. And in every season of life, moms are sacrificing. In prayer and with the sweat of their brow, they're sacrificing. And we would think these moments are just mundane moments of life and just say, damn, that's just silly stuff. That's just mundane stuff. And you know what? The world that lives around us would like to tell you mundane stuff is unimportant stuff. But it's not. You know, our lives are lived in the mundane. We honor God with the things that we do, with these mom things. They matter to God. They are important. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul when he wants to sum up what is the Christian life. Do you remember Romans chapter 12 and verse 1? In view of God's mercy, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. A sacrifice. That's what it means to be a Christian. In view of God's mercy done to you, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Our lives are supposed to be lived sacrificially. What is more sacrificial than being a mom? What is more like Jesus than being a mom? It's not just wiping bottoms. It's giving your life for an eternal soul. A child's soul that's going to live forever. Pouring your life out sacrificially. We honor moms because of their sacrifice. Point three, we honor moms for their faith. I just want to say this to you, moms. Your identity in Christ is more important than your identity as a mom. I just say that. Your identity in Christ is more important than your identity as a mom. Many years ago in church, I haven't seen it in this church at all, but definitely in the church I grew up with, it seemed like there was a lot of these Proverbs 31 studies. You know, Proverbs 31, it says, a virtuous woman who can find her price is far above rubies, something like that. Her worth is far above rubies, jewels, my Bible says. And it would have all of these things of what it means to be a godly woman. And I think most women look at those and they think, that is unachievable. I mean, let me just read you some of these. This is what a godly woman does. She wakes up before sunrise to cook food for her family. Right? Just that's one. It's like a string of pearls. She makes real estate transactions on the side. This is all in there. I'm just paraphrasing. She finds time to plant a vineyard. She manages to take care of her family while doing lucrative side businesses of various types. And she still manages, after taking care of all the children, to make all of her own clothes and make all of her own sheets for her bed and the children's bed. I mean, that's in there. That's a poem. Proverbs 31 is a poem that has this chiastic structure. And the beginning and the end connect. A virtuous woman who can find her worth is far above rubies. And then at the end is the key to the whole passage. It says, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. A woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I just want to tell you again, your identity in Christ is far more important than your identity in a mom. Before you're a mom, you're a daughter. Listen, you're a daughter of the King of Kings. Before you're a mom, you're an heir of the world, a co-heir with Christ, ruling with him forever. Before you're a mom, you're a saint who has been imputed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. If you're a believer, you're a saint. Not because of what you did, but because of what Christ did for you. Before you're a mom, you are a chosen one. Before you're a mom, you were chosen before the foundation of the world to belong to God. And he chose before the foundation of the world to send his son for you. Your identity in Christ is more important than your identity as a mom. We need to honor moms for their identity in Christ. For who they are in Christ, honor them. Moms, don't forget who you are in Christ. Beyond all that you can do for your kids and sacrifice and teach your kids, more than anything, we know what your kids need. They need you to live out of your identity in Christ. They need it. They need to see that. They need to see your faith. I told you this last Mother's Day because it was so impactful for me. Several years ago, went to a pastor's conference. I had never seen so many pastors in one room ever. It was over 10,000 pastors. And they weren't just Baptists, they were Presbyterian, all these other denominations where we had the gospel in common. The conference is called Together for the Gospel. And as all these men were in there, the speaker said, it was on evangelism, on sharing your faith. And he said, I just want you to stand up here if you came to know Jesus because you had a friend that shared Jesus with you. And I looked around, and there was a few people, and they started to stand up. And he said, stand up if you just read your Bible and you came to know Jesus. A few people stood up. He said, stand up if a preacher preached a sermon and you came to know Jesus. You know, more people stood up. But there's a lot of people still sitting. Most of the room was still sitting. And he said these words, stand up if your mom led you to Christ. It was like the whole room stood up. It's like I watched about 10,000 pastors stand up. Because moms have more of an influence on our lives than Billy Graham or any other evangelist could. Moms have won more people to Christ. They have modeled what it looks like to live in Christ more than I could preach, more than any of us could share. I was looking at I love Hudson Taylor and the story of Hudson Taylor's life. He was a missionary to China, and there's a story told that Hudson Taylor is much like any other teenage boy. And at age 15, he got a job. His dad wanted him to get a job. He got a job in a bank. And he started to be exposed to all of these yahoos in the world, you know? Bunch of knuckleheads that didn't know God and didn't talk like they knew God. And it started to influence him and impact him. And over the next couple years, by the time he's 17, his parents are very worried about him. And his dad was too harsh with him, too demanding with him. And so his mother moved in, and she decided that she would try to counsel him. And she even herself was discouraged and didn't know what to do, and many of you parents can relate. And she took a vacation for 4 days. She left, went to her sister's house, and she felt this huge burden. She said, I just need to pray for Hudson. I need to pray for Hudson. And she said, I'm just going to lock myself into this room, and I'm going to pray for Hudson until I have this sense that God is going to save him. And so she goes and she locks herself in this room. She's on vacation many miles from home, and she starts praying. She starts praying for Hudson, and little does she know, back home, Hudson is bored. He's bored in his home, like many 17-year-olds are. And he goes looking around in his dad's bookshelf, finds a book, a gospel tract, and reads about, quote, the finished work of Christ, and realizes that Jesus has done everything to reconcile him to God, and all he needs to do is put his faith in him. Bows down and prays to receive Christ in that moment. A few days later, he and his mom are reunited, and he immediately exclaims, I have some good news to tell you. But before he could say anything, she says, I know. I know what it is. You have given yourself to God. And she explained that for days she had been rejoicing in his salvation. What an amazing story. Mother prays her son to God. Sometimes you don't know what to do you, Mom? It's like, what do I do? What do I do? She prayed. I want to read this poem to you as we close about moms. This is old. You painted no Madonnas on chapel walls in Rome, but with a touch diviner, you lived one in your home. You wrote no lofty poems that critics counted art, but with a nobler vision, you lived them in your heart. You carved no shapeless marble to some high-souled design, but with a finer sculpture, you shaped this soul of mine. You built no great cathedrals that centuries will applaud, but with a grace exquisite, your life cathedraled God. Had I the gift of Raphael or Michelangelo, oh, what a rare Madonna my mother's life would show. For Mother's Day, do not tie your mom down to a bed and demand candy. Call her. It's much easier. Send her a card. Bring her some flowers. Honor her. Honor her today. Some of you say, my mom is not here. I can't honor her. You can honor her in your memory of her, and you can thank God for her today. Honor her. Honor her. Honor her. Let's pray.